Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the coronavirus briefing. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode, and later we will conduct a question-and-answer session with instructions being given at that time. And as a reminder, today's call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to our host, Lieutenant Governor Oliver. Please go ahead.
Thank you all for joining today's briefing. I would like to begin by noting that Governor Murphy resumed the duties of governor as of yesterday evening. He is currently in New Jersey. Since our call yesterday, we have received two additional presumptive positive test results, bringing to six the number of presumed positive cases of coronavirus in New Jersey. Commissioner Persichelli will speak more directly to the status of these cases in a moment, as well as to the status of all persons under investigation. I want to repeat, overall, the risk of the average New Jerseyan contracting coronavirus remains low. It bears repeating, and I urge you to continue informing the public that the best way residents can protect themselves is by practicing safe respiratory hygiene and to stay home and call their health care practitioner if they feel sick. We continue to urge the public to visit the Department of Health's coronavirus information page at nj.gov/health or call our toll-free public hotline. Residents calling from a New Jersey phone should call 1-800-222-1222, and those with an out-of-state number should call 1-800-962-1253. I will now ask Commissioner Judith Persichelli to provide an update.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. As we've been saying, this is a rapidly evolving situation, and you will see from the numbers I present today that we expect increasing activity daily, if not hourly. We now have six individuals presumptive positive for COVID-19. One individual is a 70-year-old male, Bergen County resident from Teaneck. Onset of symptoms, approximately February 28th. The individual was admitted to St. Joseph's Medical Center on March 6th and is in stable condition, however, is in the intensive care unit. At this point, because of the condition of the patient, we have not been able, the local health department has not been able to do a full interview to determine New Jersey contacts or potential exposure to COVID-19, so I do not have that information. The individual is a healthcare worker, and again, that is the extent of the information that I have on this individual. More would be forthcoming when that individual can be interviewed. The second person is a 32-year-old male, a Hudson County resident from West New York. Onset of symptoms, February 28th. He was admitted to Hackensack University Medical Center in Montclair, New Jersey, on March 5th. Again, the interviews have not been completed, so we do not have information on potential exposure to COVID-19 or the New Jersey contact. As a follow-up to yesterday's call, as you know, yesterday we had 15 persons under investigation. We were able to complete 9 of those tests, and 2, as we've reported, came back positive, and 7 came back negative. At this point, we do not have the confirmatory tests from the CDC. To give you an overall picture of what this looks like in New Jersey at this point, we have total tracking of 27 persons under investigation. Of the 27, 9 are in Bergen County, 1 in Camden County, 2 individuals are in Cumberland County, 3 individuals in Essex County, 2 in Hunterdon County, 2 in Middlesex County, 4 individuals in Monmouth County, 3 in Union County, and 1 in Sussex County. So as you can see, from north to south, the coronavirus seems to be spreading. We are collecting and processing these specimens in our lab, and we'll begin testing procedures later today on the remaining PUIs. Hopefully, we will start getting those specimens ready for testing, and results will be received sometime tomorrow. The 4 individuals who had tests in process yesterday were all negative. These individuals were hospitalized at Capital Health Hopewell, Englewood Hospital, Hackensack Meridian Health Palisades Medical Center, and Robert Wood Johnson, Rahway. I want to assure you that all public health investigations of presumptive positives are ongoing. Once individuals are determined to be presumptive positive, local health departments are working quickly to determine who may be at risk and notify those individuals of their risk. Local health departments interview the individuals to learn what and who they have been in close contact with since symptom onset, and what public places, including mass transit, healthcare facilities, and any public places they may have visited. Once those close contacts are identified, they are notified and asked to self-quarantine for a period of up to 14 days. If for some reason they are not able to identify contacts were at one of those locations, a public notification will be issued to inform the public of a possible exposure. I also want to remind the public that the Department of Health is asking travelers returning to the state from countries with widespread ongoing transmission to self-quarantine for 14 days. Currently, countries included in this advisory include China, Iran, Italy, and South Korea. Individuals who are self-quarantined should remain at home. They should avoid having guests and visitors, and they should avoid close contact with others. They should not go to work or attend school for that 14-day period. Now I'd like to share several follow-up items from yesterday. I shared with you yesterday that we were tracking two individuals who had attended conferences outside of the state. One was in New York, and the other I am reporting today was the CPAC conference. CDC notified me directly that the Bergen County resident that attended a conference outside of the state had in fact attended the CPAC conference in Maryland. The CDC confirmed his attendance and is working with CPAC to notify all the attendees. That call came in approximately 1:08 yesterday. Dr. Butler from the CDC and I did not connect until later in the day when he shared that information directly with me, although it had already been in the press. My understanding, the onset of the symptoms for that individual was on the 27th, and it is reported that he attended the conference from February 27th to March 1st. I also want to share with you that we were notified that an Uber driver from New York had transported individuals to New Jersey. At this time, New Jersey and New York officials are in the process of getting information from the driver to ascertain New Jersey exposures. And lastly, there are various rumors about school closing. Commissioner Repelette and I have sent out guidance to the schools and have also held stakeholder calls with them, advising the schools to access our guidance on our website and to follow their internal policies. We are tracking this activity daily and are in contact with the schools that are considering closures or dismissals. Although it has been reported to us that several schools have closed for one day, it is our understanding that those schools have closed for one day to work with their faculty on readiness and resiliency and to also amplify their cleaning processes. And with that, I'll return this to the moderator for a Q&A.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1-0 command. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press 1, then 0 at this time. And one moment, please, for our first question. Again, 1-0 if you'd like to ask a question. And we have no one queuing up.
Gary, let's wait one more minute to see if we have any questions from my colleagues.
All right. Again, 1-0 if you'd like to ask a question or share a comment. We have no one queuing up at this time.
Hey, Carrie, there's Carrie, a problem with the system. We're getting people who want to ask questions, but they're not able to get through on the system. Can you run a check?
Sure. Let me one moment, please. One moment, please.
Gary, if you want, I could tell you the line of a reporter to open up, if that helps.
I refreshed my screen. I'm not showing anyone queuing up for questions.
Carrie, may I give you the name of a specific reporter and outlet to open up? Can you do that?
What's that name?
Can you start with Sam Sutton from Politico?
Thank you. Mr. Sutton, your line is open.
Thank you. First question is just going to do with CDC confirmations. The statement from CPAP yesterday indicated that they received CDC confirmation, so I wanted to see which pieces have been confirmed at this point by CDC and which are still being confirmed.
I'm sorry, Sam, your question didn't come through clearly. What was it?
It was, what cases have you received confirmatory testing on from CDC, and which are you still waiting for confirmatory testing?
We're waiting for the confirmatory testing, I think, on all of the cases at this point. Chris, you're on the line?
Yes, I am.
What are we waiting
for? Yesterday, we expected, as we shared, the CDC to confirm the first two cases. That did not occur. We reached out to the CDC this morning for clarification and explanation what the delay was regarding those confirmations. They did not offer an explanation, and so at this point, the first two cases could be confirmed by the CDC at any point. And for cases three and four, we expect CDC confirmation either late Tuesday or early Wednesday.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Carrie, could you open up for the next question, Tracy Tully from the New York Times?
Sure. One moment, please. Ms. Tully, your line is open. Hello, Ms. Tully, your line is open. Is your phone on mute? Ms. Tully?
Hi. Hi there. This is Tracy. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Yesterday, you had indicated that the 32-year-old male, the very first case in New Jersey, had attended a medical conference in New York. What was the name of that medical conference? When did he attend?
I don't have that information. Dr. Chan, have you ascertained that information yet?
Yes, we do have that information, but I don't have it in front of me either. That information was conveyed to New York for additional follow-up.
Okay. And it, what is his medical profession? Why would he have attended that conference?
My understanding is that he is a physician.
Okay. Okay. Do you think you might be able to follow up with the name of the conference and the date?
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. That's my only question.
We'll now go to Tom Bergeron from ROI News.
All right. One moment.
Hello?
Mr. Bergeron, your line is open.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious to see if the state has released or is thinking about releasing any guidance to businesses about employees coming to work, working from home, attending events. Are they in any way trying to give any guidelines for what people should do, when and where, and have they been asked by any companies to provide guidance?
Yes, yes, and yes. We have posted guidance on the Department of Health website. We have also had a conference call with the governor, and hundreds of businesses dialed in to amplify that guidance that was last Monday. And we are fielding questions almost every day from different businesses about how they should be dealing with their employee issues.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Mahan, I'm sorry, it's George. Before we go on, there's clearly a problem with the technology, and I think we all want to make sure that every reporter who's taken the time to be on this call gets a chance to ask a question. What's the process for you opening up the line? Should they text you, email you? How are we going to do this to make sure everybody gets a shot here?
So anyone who would like to ask a question, please email alexandra.altman@nj.gov, or you may text me at 914-714-0242. This is Mahan. You can email either me or alexandra.altman@nj.gov or text me 914-714-0242. We'll now go to Brian Thompson from NBC4.
All right. One moment.
The Montclair branch of HUMC, please.
Mr. Thompson, your line is open.
Brian, we only heard the last part of your question. Can you start over?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The 30-year-old male at HUMC Montclair, can you give us his medical status, please?
First, I want to make a correction. I just got a text that he is not at HUMC Montclair. He's at Hackensack. University Medical Center.
Okay.
I do not have a condition on him. And
no
he has
condition.
Not been
okay.
No.
Okay. The New York Uber driver, he was infected, correct? Do we know how many people he brought to New Jersey and when?
No, that's what we're trying to find out now.
Okay, but he was infected, correct?
Our understanding is that he tested positive for COVID-19, but I don't have any confirmation of that. That's
okay.
Why we put this under investigation, and we're trying to track it. It's not
okay.
That easy to find the Uber driver.
I guess there are quite a few of them. As far as the tracking 27 total, please, does that have anything to do with the remaining six who have yet to be tested out of 15?
I'm not
or is
sure
that
I understand.
A totally
yet.
Separate number. You said
yeah.
You completed testing on 9 of 15, 2 positive, 7 negative, and then you said we're tracking a total of 27, and you gave us the counties. Are the 6 more that you're waiting for test results on part of the 27?
Yes. The 27
okay.
Was giving a picture. Was giving you a total picture.
Right. I just want to make sure.
Investigation.
But in tracking these other, let's see, you're still going to test those 6. So the other 21 are not at the point yet where you want to test them. Is that correct?
Some of them have already been tested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's the total picture from the start.
So when you say 9 Bergen, that includes the now 4 people from Bergen County that we're aware of that tested preliminarily positive, correct?
Yes, and it also those from Bergen County that may have tested negative. The total amount of people that
have been tested. Well, if they test negative, are you still tracking them, or are you saying this is the total number of people you've tracked throughout the course of the investigation?
Exactly that. Total
the total number that you've tracked. So some have already turned negative.
Yes.
So it's not like we're looking at 27 more people immediately.
No.
Who
I apologize if that wasn't clear. Yeah, we're trying
to give
a full picture of how, you know, persons under investigation are being reported.
Got it. The 70-year-old healthcare worker from TNEC, do you know where he's a healthcare worker?
I don't.
Don't know. Okay. All right.
Sorry, Brian. We need to keep going.
That's
you have
good.
One more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll now move to Jimena Condi from WHYY.
Give me one moment. Your Zemina Conde, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Sorry. Yeah, so there was a little bit of backlash yesterday, not immediately releasing the towns where these presumptive cases were. I noticed that you said them today. What is the protocol going forward? Are you just going to immediately release this information?
We're going to be posting the information on our website. We started that today. It'll be posted at 1 p.m. every day.
Can you walk me through the reasoning, like why the change?
Change from what to what?
From like not releasing all the information to doing so now?
I think we're listening to some of the comments that you have all made and trying to be responsive.
Perfect. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now go to Tom Davis of Patch.
Thank you. One moment. Mr. Davis, your line is open.
Yeah, hi. You can hear me? It's Tom Davis. You can hear me?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks. Just two quick questions. First of all, I just want to make sure I heard that right. The second person was admitted to where? I'm sorry. I missed the change there. It's not HUMC in Montclair. It's where?
Hackensack.
It's the one in Hackensack. Okay. Yeah. And also... Another publication, Daily Voice, had showed a notice from the Passaic Health Division saying that somebody there developed or actually was a presumptive positive case. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. What is it? The six cases that I've shared with you are the ones we know of.
Yeah, they actually published a letter from the health division in Passaic. It says it was some positive case there. I'm not sure. I have to admit, I could send the link if you want to. I could text it to you if you want.
If you want to email that, we can track
it
down.
Is it the Passaic letter, and it may be in reference to the New York rabbi?
Yeah, actually, that's it. I'm sorry, that is what it is. It says,
that was the news from yesterday. The New York rabbi tested positive.
So that's what that is. The report said it was the fifth case, but that wasn't, that was not a New Jersey resident. Okay. Just wanted to check to make sure. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
I'd like to ask Chris Newworth. I got a note from him that he can clarify the PUI numbers. That might be helpful. Chris, you're on the line.
Thank you, Commissioner. I wanted to just circle back to Brian Thompson's question earlier. Just to clarify, as you can all appreciate, the difficulty in trying to, provide you with the most accurate numbers as possible given the dynamic nature of the situation. So just to ensure that, the information you have is absolutely spot on. Currently, we have 27 PUIs. As Brian, you pointed out, six of those were the remaining individuals from the 15 from yesterday. And since then, we had 21 additional PUIs, new ones. And so today, among those 27, depending on which specimens we receive, some of the 27 would be tested this evening. Now, again, we're in a period of flux. Some of the specimens are still en route to the lab, some we've received. And so depending upon what we have at the time testing begins is what we will test this evening for results tomorrow morning.
We'll now go to our next question, Dave Madden from KYW News Radio.
Thank you. One moment.
Hello. Hello.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. I am connected now.
Yes.
Good, 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 good. I can tell we have a lot of confusion here. I was actually on a wrong line or something where we were connected, so let me just get to the point. For those of us who are joining the call late, we're going to need you to recap, and I know this is going to drive some people crazy, what you made the announcement at the top, and I may have a question based on that.
The announcement that I made at the top was that we have two more individuals who tested positive for COVID-19. Their specimens are now being sent to CDC for confirmatory testing. The first case is a 70-year-old male from Bergen County, a resident of Teaneck, possible onset of symptoms on February 28th, admitted to St. Joseph's on March 6th, and is in ICU in stable condition. We have yet to interview this individual. He is a healthcare worker. Because we have not been able to interview him, we do not have any further information on his contacts or exposure to COVID-19. The second one is a 32-year-old male from Hudson County, West New York, onset of symptoms on the 28th, admitted to Hackensack University Medical Center in Hackensack on the 5th, and again, his exposure to, we have not been able to interview him yet, or we are in the process and I don't have the information. So I cannot share what his exposure to COVID-19, when it occurred, if it occurred, and his New Jersey contacts.
Okay. So we now have a total of six presumed cases. In terms of getting confirmation from the CDC, where do we stand?
Chris, do you want to take that?
Certainly. So yesterday we had shared that we were awaiting confirmation from the CDC on the first two cases by end of business yesterday. That did not occur. We reached out to the CDC this morning for clarification and an explanation about why we didn't receive the results. They did not offer an explanation, and so at this point we could expect results, confirmations of those first two cases really at any point, and we're continuously following up with the CDC to get that. Regarding the other two cases and now subsequently the fifth and sixth, cases three and four, we'd expect end of day Tuesday or into Wednesday, and then by the end of the week for five and six.
Okay. All right. And just so that I have the rest of it, because I jumped into this about 15 minutes in, you're tracking another 27 statewide for possible exposure?
And this is the last question before we move on to someone else.
Yes. Understood.
Chris?
So there are currently 27 PUI, of which yesterday we reported 15 PUI. Six of them are still awaiting testing, as we reported on nine, seven negative, two positive. So we had six left over from the 15 yesterday. We have 21 new PUI for a total of 27 statewide.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Stacey Sherman from Bloomberg News.
Give me one moment. Ms. Sherman, your line is open.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. With regards to the CDC, do you know, is New Jersey alone in encountering delays on confirmation? And can you explain this confirmation, what does that do for New Jersey? Does that open up certain funding, or what is the importance of having that confirmation?
Sure. So we do understand other states are having similar experiences where, the CDC may be a day or two behind making notifications to them of confirmatory testing. As far as the actual process of confirmatory testing, it's really a quality control issue. It's, because of the FDA's emergency use authorization for this testing to occur in the states, one of the requirements is that samples are sent to the CDC for that confirmation just to ensure quality control.
Okay. The other question I have is about this conference, this medical conference, which you were asked about by another reporter, and you said you'd have to get back on the name of the conference. But I think that we've been asking for that conference name for several days now. You see the importance of having, disclosing CPAC. Is there a procedure or reason why? Is it that the conference has to be the one to give its name, or I'm just this person now, we're going on several days ago that this person was at this conference and nobody knows what that conference was. So how does this delay? Is it because that you want the conference to release it, or for what is the deal?
I just don't have it in front of me. Dr. Tan, can you get that while we're on the line?
This is Tina. I'm going to try.
There's no reason for us not to release it now.
Okay. And then a last question. The two additional cases, so you had it confirmed as of yesterday, and so that you've only had a chance to interview them between yesterday and today. That's why, even though they've been admitted since March 5th or 6th, you begin the interviews once you confirm. Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand the process.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Bob Olivier with NJ.com.
All right. One moment. Mr. Olivier, your line is open.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Just two clarifications. The 70-year-old man who was admitted to St. Joe's in Patterson we're talking about?
That's right.
Okay. And then the 32-year-old man, when was he admitted to HUMC in Hackensack?
On March 5th.
March 5th. Okay, that's it. Thank you, guys.
We'll now go to Bill Westoven of the Daily Record.
Is that Bill, what was his last name? I'm sorry.
Westoven.
Okay, one moment. Mr. Westoven, your line is open.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm covering Morris County, and in Morris County, in the Mount Olive School District, the superintendent has canceled classes for tomorrow. Students will not report, but the teachers will, to discuss a plan for the possible possible period of remote teaching. I'm wondering what information and direction is going out to the school system right now regarding all this, and if and when a student tests positive, what's the procedure?
The guidance for the schools is posted on our website, on Department of Health website. And as I've shared, we have had conference calls with all of the schools. We've asked them to develop their resiliency plans, to review their policies and procedures for remote learning. and to work with all of their faculty on readiness in case of school closures and or dismissals. So a lot of the schools, I think we will see them taking advantage of the guidance that we've given them and spending time with the teachers to develop relook at their plans and be prepared in case there is an increase in absenteeism.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll now go to Patrick Wall from Chalkview.
Mr. Wall, your line is open.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have a related question, Commissioner. You mentioned that some districts have closed school to have training staff around readiness and do some additional cleaning. Do you have a sense of how many schools have done that, and is that something that you recommend other schools and districts consider doing as well?
I don't recommend them to do anything except be prepared for what might be the remote possibility that we might have to close some schools. We keep a running list, Commissioner Repelet knows. I believe there's only one district at this point that it's closed for a day. That does not include the school in Passaic that closed for a couple of days that had the 28 students that had been exposed at a bat mitzvah.
Okay. And can I ask, just in addition to coming up with a plan, are there any other immediate actions that districts and individual schools should be taking right now to kind of prepare?
Well, I think the guidance that we've given them is to for them to dust off their plans and to update them and be prepared to perhaps develop and initiate remote learning.
And does that include also doing some additional sanitizing around schools? Should they be working on that as well?
Well, the sanitizing of schools and many public areas are already with the disinfectants that are effective against coronaviruses. So, you know, as with New Jersey Transit and some of the other public agencies, they're just stepping up their sanitation, perhaps doing it more times during the day rather than once or twice or whatever their schedule is. If you go on our website at the Department of Health, there is guidance from the CDC on disinfecting surfaces.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please feel free. Anyone who called on, please text me. This is Mahin, 914-714-0242, or email Alex Altman, alexandra.altman@nj.gov. We'll now go to Alex Zidane of NewsTalk.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch Alex's last name. Was that with a V?
Yeah. Alex Zidane with a Z.
Oh, okay. Mr. Zidane, your line is open.
All right, I have two questions, one very quick one and one more broad one. Very quick question, because I think the answer is probably no. The 70-year-old male from Bergen County who's a healthcare worker, is there any evidence that he is connected to the urgent care facility in Bergen County that the first two presumptive positive cases visit?
I do not have evidence of that. Dr. Tan, you want to weigh in?
Sorry, I did not hear the question. I was on mute, and I did not hear the question.
Okay. My question was, the 70-year-old male from TNET, who's now presumptive positive, he's said to be a healthcare worker. Is there any indication that he worked or has a connection to the urgent care center in Bergen County were the first two presumptive positive cases sought treatment?
We do not know at this time. We're still in the process of conducting interviews, but we simply don't have that information.
Okay. And the broader question that I wanted to ask really for either Dr. Pan or Commissioner Persichelli, we're seeing with case number 5 and 6, you said that these people had symptoms, onset was February 28th, and neither of them sought hospitalization till March 6th or March 5th, respectively. Is this, I know we don't want to beat up on these people, but is this evidence of what can happen if someone waits to seek hospitalization, waits to seek treatment? Can you talk generally about the perils of waiting to try and get an answer on why you feel the way you feel if you feel sick?
Dr. Tan, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So this is Tina again. So, you know, it's always a challenge sometimes because we have to remember that we're in the middle of flu season and, you know, we have to remember that, you know, probably, you know, we have to consider other diagnoses other than COVID-19 in, you know, as we're considering diagnoses. We can't speculate as to why individuals, you know, might seek care when they do or when decisions are made for when people go to the hospital. But, you know, as to your point, you know, it is, you know, it's a reminder that, like, you know, if people do have concerns about their health, they should go talk with their healthcare providers. We know that individuals who are older, individuals who might have underlying medical conditions might be at risk for more serious complications. We know that, you know, based on some preliminary information of the cases nationwide, this is based, you know, and again, because the numbers are still out there and we're trying to characterize the illness, we got to look at this a little bit more. But sometimes, you know, we're seeing what we call kind of this biphasic presentation where sometimes some people might feel okay at the beginning and then get improvement in symptoms, and then, you know, they'll have additional progression of illness presentation later. So, again, you know, as mentioned on previous calls, the vast majority of people, if they might come down with COVID-19, will likely have mild illness that won't necessarily require hospitalization or warrant hospitalization. But, again, knowing that older individuals and people with weak immune systems, you know, might be at higher risk for complications, that's something that individuals should be mindful of moving forward. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Tan.
We'll now go to David Levinsky of the Burlington County Times.
Thank you. One moment.
Before he starts, I'd like to share with everyone, based on a prior question, that the conference that was attended by the individual attended in New York was an Empire Medical Training, Weston Town Square, and he attended from 2/28 to 3/2 to March 2nd.
All right, and David Lazinski, your line is open.
Great. I just wanted to, can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to see, have you guys had any luck tracing the exposure for the Cherry Hill man from Camden County as far as any suspected source or contact person?
Dr. Tan, do we have any further information on the Camden County individual?
I do not have any updates at this time, but again, as mentioned yesterday, you know, it's in the process of identifying those household and healthcare worker contacts.
Okay, thanks.
We'll now go to Jim Walsh of the Cherry Hill Courier Post.
Thank you. One moment. Mr. Walsh, your line is open.
Thanks very much. This is more of a mental health question. Many stores in this area have been stripped bare of hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and other products, and I'm wondering if there's a concern on your part that this undermines good hygiene practices by making products unavailable to others, or that it leads people to perceive an exaggerated threat from the virus, or even that it sends people into excess public exposure by going from one store to another trying to find something to protect themselves.
That's a difficult question to answer. We are encouraging everyone to wash their hands with soap and water. And we do know that soap is available. You wash your hands for soap and water for 20 seconds. It's as effective, if not more, than hand sanitizer, because if they're not using the right percentage of alcohol in the hand sanitizer, soap and water is far more effective. People respond to situations like this in different ways. We hope that with the guidance on our website and the hotline, we encourage people to use the hotline, that we can help quell some of their fears, and they will not consider stockpiling, although we are recommending that they need to plan ahead, particularly if they have children and maybe a child would be sent home from school and they would have to be with that child for a period of 14 days, make sure they have appropriate nutrition. And plan as you would for any major snowstorm when you know you're going to be in the house for a while, so that they are not caught without medication, nutrition, and things like that. So we're hoping that they'll access our hotline first and ask their questions so that we can help them through the process.
Thanks very much.
Go to Paul Malchine of NJ.com.
All right, one moment. Mr. Malchine, your line is open.
Now, concerning the case of the person who was at the Conservative Political Action Conference, I believe you said he got to the conference on the 27th and immediately had symptoms. What does that indicate? What is the latency period? I mean, that sounds like if he got it at the conference, he sure got it quick. Do you have any idea what the latency period is and how that fits into it?
Dr. Tran, do we know that?
I don't know exactly what you mean by the latency period, but generally speaking, from the point that an individual becomes infected, is exposed to a COVID-19 source and becomes infected, there is approximately 1 to 14 day incubation window in which people can develop symptoms. It's unknown at this time, given the information that we have right now about specifically when people might become symptomatic. But generally speaking, what we know about other coronaviruses and respiratory pathogens in general is that people are most infectious when they become symptomatic. Because again, the way that the virus is spread is through respiratory droplets when people are coughing, sneezing, where they potentially spread droplets to others.
Great, thanks.
Go to David Matthew of NJ 101.5.
You want to know it? I'm sorry, what was David's last name?
Matthew.
I'm not showing a David Matthew unless he signed in under a different person's name.
Got it. We'll go on now to Brenda Flanagan of NJTV.
Ms. Flanagan, your line is open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I was hoping you could discuss whether there's any connection between the cases that you've been able to say are positive at this point, and also to discuss possibly the connection to New York. I know that Governor Cuomo has called that a cluster, and whether or not cases in Jersey have radiated out from that.
Well, for the first question, I don't have any information that would lead us to believe that any of these cases are connected. But because we haven't finished all of the interviews, that may happen. We may find something out. We may find something out through contact tracing. So really don't have an answer to that, except that the process would uncover that. but we're not through the process of fully interviewing all of the cases. And the second part was, I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Regarding New York.
Regarding New York, did you say?
Governor Cuomo has called what is happening in Westchester at this point a cluster of cases, and I wanted to see if you could talk about the infection, the cases in Jersey that might be connected to that.
Dr. Tan, do you want to talk about the definition of a cluster and an outbreak, and then we talk about the effect in New Jersey?
Right. What they're experiencing up in New York State is that, as everybody has been seeing, there was one index case, one person who became ill, and because of all the close contacts within that particular immediate community in New York, which has also, extended out to other areas as well, that there have been a lot of secondary cases associated with that one individual. So, that's what we mean by, kind of the cluster and the clustering around that particular individual.
And then the connection to New Jersey.
Right. Sorry. And then, right now we do have two cases that have out-of-state contacts, of which they are linked to the New York cluster.
Could you say which ones those are?
Hang on. I get the numbers confused a little bit. Okay. It is case number 2 and case number 4. And I believe, Commissioner, you had mentioned, you had alluded to some of those contacts before in your previous comments.
Right.
Thank you.
We'll now go to Pat Robinson of New Jersey Hills Media Group. The recorder is here.
Robinson, your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just real fast, looking at yesterday's figures, they had reported that there were two cases under investigation in Morris County, and I don't see them on the list today.
Let me see if I can find that. Chris, do you have the list of all the PUIs? We had one at Morristown, I believe.
Would that be only one then?
I'm still looking for it. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Because you've got two at Hunterdon today, and I didn't see two from Hunterdon yesterday, which doesn't mean anything. I mean, as far as my
they're coming in constantly.
Yes, yes.
That's why it's a little overwhelming. Chris, can you help us out there?
I'm looking through the list now. I mean, we have it by facility, not the county in front of me. It's certainly something we can circle back with you on.
Yeah, I would appreciate that if someone could confirm.
Yeah, if you send an email to Alex Altman, alexandra.altman@gov.gov, we'll get back to you ASAP.
Listen, I think I sent an email. I think it went through.
Okay,
it's alexandra.altman@nj.gov, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And just another question is the CDC had recommended, that you're elderly and you're vulnerable kind of avoid crowds while this is going on. And even while, you know, New Jersey is still, well, the average person is still considered to be at low risk to come in contact with this, is that something that you would support, or would you just support something like that in any kind of a contagious disease element like cold and flu season?
Dr. Chan?
Yeah, this is Tina. Yeah, of course. We recommend that anybody who is in those high-risk populations, again, aside from doing those everyday preventive measures, to really consider, for example, things that might put them at higher risk for getting any sort of disease, whether it's COVID-19 or flu or other respiratory pathogens, because they might be potentially at more risk for serious illness, because of underlying health issues. And again, as you had mentioned, CDC, their recommendation for elderly and those with underlying medical conditions, reconsider travel to areas that are level three, reconsider cruise ship travel, reconsider going to public areas, because the idea is to try to enhance social distancing. And what we mean by social distancing is decreasing the frequency, decreasing the duration of your interactions among other individuals. Because again, I'm sounding like a broken record, but again, you want to try to limit opportunities for transmission of infected respiratory droplets to you. And by taking those steps, those everyday steps, and by doing social distancing activities, that will try to minimize your risk.
Okay. Thank you very much. And yes, if you can get back to me about Morris County, that would be great.
Will do. We'll now go to Lindy Washburn of the record. Lindy Washburn.
Give me one moment. Ms. Washburn, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me now? Yes. Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to circle back to a question that many of us had asked yesterday, which is, what is the name of the urgent care center where the Fort Lee man and the Englewood woman initially sought care? And if you cannot provide that, many, many readers are asking me that because we're the local paper and they want to know. Would you please explain why you don't have the information?
I did get that information while we've been on the line. The centers where the individuals had visited, the one in North Jersey, two individuals visited CityMD on Route 4.
CityMD on Route 4. In Hackensack, or do you know?
That's all I have, is CityMD on Route 4.
Okay, thank you for that.
And the other one is Cooper University Urgent Care on Route 70 in South Jersey.
Okay. I noticed that you did say that the Fort Lee man was a physician. Can you tell us what type of healthcare worker the 70-year-old who's now at St. Joseph's is and where he worked?
I don't have the definite on that. By the way, it's CityMD Paramus Route 4.
Thank you.
I just got a text on that. I don't have a definite on that healthcare worker. There's been an assumption that he's a physician, but I don't have confirmation of that.
Okay. And do we have a condition report on the 32-year-old who's at Hackensack University Medical Center?
I don't have. That's one of our newer cases. I don't have his condition.
Okay. Last question is just, at what point will the state declare a public health emergency? And are we closer to that today?
That's Lieutenant Governor.
Yes. In New Jersey, we have an emergency management system. And we also have the coronavirus task force that Governor Murphy formed several weeks ago. Commissioner Perzicelli chairs that task force. Whenever we receive guidance from either the Commissioner of Health in tandem with the emergency management leadership, if they advise that it is, you know, advisable to declare some sort of emergency, that is when we would do that, which is normal protocol for any type of emergency or crisis situation in our state. As of today, we have not been requested to do that by either the EMS or the commissioner.
Commissioner, are you growing closer to that decision?
That's going to be a discussion at the Corona Task Force meeting, trying to establish the criteria by which we could guide the governor, who is the person who calls for the emergency, but develop some criteria that would be helpful in the discussion.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please text me. This is Mahed, 914-714-0242, or email alexaltman, alexandra.altman@nj.gov. We'll now go to Matt, is there anything you wanted to add on the state of emergency question?
Just to say, a public health emergency, which has actually never been declared in New Jersey before, is set in statute. There are specific guidelines that the task force will follow. And then obviously a broader state of emergency under the Disaster Control Act, which is the act that gives the governor the broadest powers, is something that the task force will also consider. And once they make a recommendation to the governor is when it would be appropriate for a state of emergency to be ordered.
Thank you, Matt. We'll now go to Elise Young of Bloomberg News.
Ms. Young, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. The Fort Lee gentleman who is a physician, he's a physician in what sort of setting? A hospital, a clinic, and in which state?
I don't have that information. Dr. Tan, do you have that information?
This is the first case, right? This is the healthcare worker is works in New York City.
Is he a hospital doctor? Does he work in a clinic setting or a research setting?
And he works in several clinical settings, which we have provided to New York to do the appropriate follow-up with healthcare workers and facilities.
Okay, very good. And regarding the urgent care centers, have health officials been in touch with folks who may have been there at the same time? And also, are both locations still open and treating patients?
I can answer the first question. The health officials have been in contact with the administrators of the urgent care centers. The urgent care centers are informing and advising their own healthcare workers and also any visitor to the urgent care center during the dates when the two individuals were present. And
okay.
I do not have the dates, what those dates are, but I can tell you that the urgent care centers have been very responsive.
And are they open? Are they still treating patients?
I don't know. I don't know if they're open.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please email alexandra.altman@nj.gov or text me, Mahin, at 914-714-0242. Our next question is from Kimoko DeFreitas-Tamura of the New York Times.
what was that name again?
Last name DeFreitas Tamora, D-E space F-R-E-Y-T-A-S.
Okay. Kimo, your line is open.
It's Kimiko, by the way. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
So my question was, I just wanted to double check the name of the location where the 32-year-old was infected with the virus. Was it the Westin Hotel?
Your question was where he was infected with the virus? We don't have that information.
Well, he had attended Empire Medical Training, right?
Yeah, where was that held? We don't have confirmation that he was infected. Are you saying that he was there when he was infectious?
No, I just want to know where the Empire Medical Training conference was held.
Westin Town Square.
Westin Town Square. And where is that?
I don't know. Does anybody on the line know where that is?
Manhattan.
Okay. All right, so it's the Westin Hotel. I'm assuming. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Tracy Tully of the New York Times.
Thank you. One moment. Ms. Tully, your line is open.
Hi. I believe my question was just answered, but when you say, I just want to make certain that it was at the Westin Hotel in Times Square in Manhattan. Is that accurate? Because there's some confusion with a Florida conference, I believe.
But
I don't think there's a town square, so I just want to make sure it was in Times Square.
I'm just looking at what was sent to me by text. Dr. Tan, I think you sent this to me.
Perhaps it's the Manhattan Westin.
Empire Medical Training, Westin, Times Square.
The information that was provided.
Okay, as long as that's accurate, if anything is, if you find out differently, if you could just let us all know, please. I have no other questions. Thank you. No other questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from Charlie Style of The Record.
Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I just really want to quickly follow on Lindy's question about a state of emergency. Scott Gottlieb, the former FDA chairman, has been recommending that we may need to take preemptive, local and state jurisdictions may need to take preemptive, in some cases dramatic action now, closing theaters, closing businesses, canceling big events. Has that been discussed even in a preliminary way before we wait for this recommendation from both the emergency management and the Department of Health? And I ask that to you, Commissioner, since you would obviously play a big role in that decision or that recommendation you give to the governor.
What we discussed at our Corona Task Force and also within the Department of Health with our daily a meeting, our internal group, it's our crisis management team, is to a couple of areas that you take into consideration. The first is when you move from containment to mitigation. Containment to quarantining people, screening people, being vigilant about removing people that could be expose other individuals to stop the spread. To mitigation, where you take all steps to control the spread. When you move over to mitigation and controlling the spread, that's when things like mass gatherings and school closures and dismissals, non-pharmaceutical interventions take hold.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed, you know, when do you actually pass over that line? And one of our discussions, someone tried to break in?
No, that was just me. I'm sorry. I apologize.
And then the second thing is the concept of community spread. I'm going to use a term that maybe Dr. Tan would not use, so I would certainly open up to her suggestion here. But right now we have, given the dispersion of the PUIs, we have sporadic spread. We haven't seen significant community spread in one area where we would say there, like Westchester, there's an outbreak or a cluster, or we haven't seen pockets of community spread through the state. When you see pockets of community spread, you have to start being more vigilant towards the mitigation strategies and looking at, again, things like school closures, dismissals, mass gatherings, things like that. Dr. Tan, with your wealth of experience in this, do you want to jump in?
Commissioner, I think you have it spot on. You know, again, it's a matter of looking at the local epidemiology, and, you know, that's why we're continuing to, you know, look at this really closely, and you know, and that's why, you know, we're continuing to follow, you know, and to try to monitor as closely as possible. You know, there's going to be, you know, just like we saw during the H1N1 pandemic back in 2009, you know, there's a point where, you know, our routine containment strategies such as, you know, the close, very rigorous follow-up, the close contact tracing, you know, isn't going to be the best strategy to use. That's why we have all these other strategies that, you know, kind of assume that there's already going to be spread in there, and that's spread in the community, and that's why, you know, those social distancing measures, you know, such as the school dismissal, such as like the, you know, limiting mass gatherings. That's why, you know, reinforcing, you know, the issues related to the preventive steps, such as self-quarantine, you know, play a bigger role as we move towards the mitigation phase.
Is that helpful?
It is helpful. I gather from the Mr. Gottlieb's remarks, he's calling for even a more preemptive approach because the inevitability of this coming in a larger degree than we've anticipated is inevitable, the spread, I'm sorry. So what seems to be what you're saying is until we have clear evidence of community spread, there is no you're not going to take that next step of mitigation, kind of drastic steps. Is that basically, did I hear you correct?
No, Charles, that's just one criterion that we would use. There's other criterion. The reason for me to share where we are seeing persons under investigation from North Jersey to South Jersey starts getting thinking that, you know, there'll be more, and it'll be throughout the whole state, and that might be we don't see one community spread, but we see so much activity within the state that is another criterion that we would use. So there's a number of different criteria, and you know we've discussed, you know, do we take more aggressive action when it's in 21 counties out of 21? Or when it's in half or three quarters of the county. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule, but the epidemiologist will tell you, and I think Dr. Tan would agree, that they will know when it's time to move to the next phase of this particular situation. Because these things kind of follow a regular path.
Charlie, it's George. I think it may be helpful for Matt to just table set here a little bit on this emergency declaration. Matt, can you give some color?
Yeah, thanks, George. So the commissioner obviously spoke very well to the public health components to it. Charlie, it's also important to remember that a state of emergency is not necessary in many instances to take the preemptive actions you're talking about. I haven't seen the guidance that you're referencing from the FDA individual, but every state has its own unique set of laws with respect to emergency powers and what authority the health commissioner has, the governor has, mm-hmm. et cetera. And we've obviously mm-hmm. been using broad powers to date, starting with the governor standing up the task force over a month ago to take the very preventive actions you're talking about. And with respect specifically to schools, we don't need a state of emergency for schools to close, which is how some have already, in limited settings, taken those decisions. So as soon as OEM and the task force makes a recommendation to the governor that we need it, or as soon as we determine, relatedly determine that we need the authority, the real question is when do we need that authority to do things that we can't currently do? That hasn't been the case yet. It's obviously an active discussion, and as soon as it is the case, the governor will take action.
Thank you all. We're going to try and wrap this up shortly. We got three more questions to try and get through them as quickly as possible. I would ask that we're going to close down the queue, so please don't submit any new questions, or if you have something pressing, please submit or please just email us. Al Tellez of WCBS-TV asked that I read out his question as he's having technical difficulties, but Al asks the question, is the Uber driver mentioned the same as the one mentioned by Governor Cuomo yesterday? Mr. Persicelli?
Yeah, I believe it is. I don't have written confirmation of that, but all indications point that it's more than likely the same person. Dr. Chan, did you get any more recent information on that? No.
Thank you. We have two more questions. We're going to go now to Tom Bergeron of ROI News.
Hey, thanks for taking another question. And you answered most of mine on the health state of emergency. You talk about meetings to discuss this and move this along, and obviously this is a very fluid situation. It's 2:30 on a Sunday. Is it fair to say that you might have another meeting on this before the end of the day if more results come in? Is this something you do? I know you guys are moving in real time. How often would these discussions come up?
Tom, I'll take that. If we have an update between now and tonight, we'll be sure to notify the press as soon as possible. We also plan on holding a press conference tomorrow. Lieutenant Governor Oliver will be hosting it, along with Commissioner Persicelli and other state health officials at The Rock in Ewing at 2 p.m. So you could look out for that on our public schedule this evening. But we'll have an in-person briefing tomorrow with the Colonel, Lieutenant Governor, and Commissioner, and others. Our last question right now will come from Elise Young of Bloomberg News.
Ms. Young, your line is open.
Amtrak canceled New York City to Washington, Acela, and I'm wondering whether Health has a particular point person for NJ Transit and keeping an eye on operations there. Also, does the state have the authority, and I'm not saying we're anywhere near this, does the state have the authority to say to New Jersey Transit, we have to stop the trains, we have to stop the buses?
I can answer the first part of that question. The mm-hmm. commissioner in charge of transit sits on our Corona Task Force. So she's intimately involved with all of the decisions that we're making, and all of the commissioners have been asked and have developed their own plans, their own resiliency plans, their own plans for anything that might impact them from moving the trains and buses to business interruption if their employees become ill. The second part of the question in terms of the authorities, I am not aware of. Maybe someone else on the line could help with that.
Yeah, I'll jump in, Commissioner. Under state of emergency pursuant to the Disaster Control Act, at least the governor has very broad powers. I have to look specifically at the question you raised, but as a general matter, you know, in weather-related emergencies and other similar situations,
we have worked very closely with NJ Transit to adjust schedules, and, you know, should that come, obviously it would be something we'd consider.
Okay. And NJ Transit has submitted some type of either operations plan or shutdown plan.
I'm sorry, with respect to this situation?
Yes.
Judy, I've not seen their plan. All commissioners are encouraged to have plans for circumstances like this.
Okay.
And similar to what we have in the Department of Health.
Okay. And as far as you're aware, you don't have one from NJ Transit yet?
No, I didn't ask for one. That's
okay. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, we have one more question from an outlet that hasn't asked a question yet. Cesar Darius of Darius News.
At the Westin Times Square. There's more than one. There may be more. I found a couple. Do you know which particular medical conference this person in question attended?
I do not. That's all that I received, but we'll certainly try to find out and let you know.
Okay, thank you. And just a second question, please. This morning at his press conference, the governor, and I'm going to give a short quote here, said, quote, "The Centers for Disease Control, I believe, was slow to begin with. They were not ready for this. They should have been ready for this. We saw what was happening in China. Anyone who didn't realize that someone from China was going to get on a plane and come to the United States was delusional." And then he said to the CDC, "Wake up." That's a quote. Do you feel you're getting the proper communication and information and resources you have from the CDC? And are you at the point that you, New Jersey, that you may be overwhelmed by this? Do you have everything you need?
From my perspective, I've been in regular contact with the CDC, particularly Dr. Jay Butler, and he's always been available. And from February 2nd, when we found out that Newark was a funneled airport, for a period of time, I was speaking with him every day. Dr. Tan, your communication with CDC, has it been what you've expected?
Yeah, this is Tina. You know, CDC has been doing a great job in conjunction also with a lot of the with the state health departments and also with their associations to get information out. The challenge is always that this is a rapidly changing situation and that, you know, information changes, I mean, literally every day. And, you know, we are getting updates as best as we can get updates. And, you know, we have to commend CDC for all the briefings and, you know, publicly for the press as well as for the states separately.
Thank you. If I could just come back real quick to the healthcare worker from TNIC who went to Times Square, presumably. Do you know if that person, most people, and it was a three-day conference, it would have been Friday when he was feeling sick on the 28th. That was a Friday. And you said he was there till the 2nd. That would be Monday. Most people commute from TNIC, from Bergen-Hudson to New York. Do you know if the person took NJ Transit and or was at the Port Authority bus terminal, or did the person drive into this multi-day conference?
I don't have that information, but I am sure that the local health officers do and that New Jersey local health departments are speaking to New York local officials. That would be part of the contact tracing activities that are taking place for all of these individuals.
Okay. Will you be able to let us know that when you have that information, please?
Yeah, I don't expect that I will have that information. When they start the contact tracing and they're working between New Jersey and New York, that's a local health department responsibility.
Okay. So you're referring to TNIC and or the county?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Those are all the questions that we had. We've exhausted every question that's been submitted. As a reminder, if you have any follow-ups, please email Alex Altman, alexandra.altman@nj.gov. And tomorrow, Lieutenant Governor Oliver State health officials, Commissioner Persicelli, will be on a multi-state conference call, video call with Vice President Pence and White House officials and Secretary Azar. That'll take place around midday. Immediately after that, we'll hold a press conference at the Rock in Ewing with the Lieutenant Governor, Colonel, Commissioner Persicelli, and others. So 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Rock. Thank you all for joining today, and please email Alex if you have any follow-up questions. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Executive Teleconference Service. You may now disconnect.